Welcome to today's deep dive. We are tackling a highly custom tailored analysis specifically for you, the listener.
Yeah, it's a really fascinating one today.
It is. You come to us to get straight to the heart of complex material, whether you are prepping for a high stakes meeting or attempting to synthesize a completely new industry landscape.
Right, or simply cultivating a rigorous understanding of how information flows.
And degrades.
Exactly how it degrades in the modern world.
So today's source material presents an unusual structural challenge. We are analyzing a single document simply titled Pasted Text.
And the document is remarkably stark. I mean, in our usual analyses, we synthesize dense academic research, lengthy articles, or comprehensive data sets.
Sure, pages and pages of it usually.
Right. But the source material you provided for this deep dive entirely defies that convention. It contains no conventional text, no data tables, and really no standard narrative structure.
None at all.
It consists solely of four image placeholders and a single line break. To be precise, the exact textual rendering is bracket image underscore placeholder underscore one close bracket.
Yeah.
This is immediately followed by placeholder two and the placeholder three forming this sequential cluster.
Right on top of each other.
Exactly. Following this triad, there is a distinct structural break, a physical empty space in the document. Finally, we see bracket image underscore placeholder underscore four close bracket. And that is the absolute entirety of the factual content we are analyzing today.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because evaluating a document completely devoid of actual semantic content, it forces us to shift our analytical framework entirely.
It really does.
We are looking at a plain text file that basically acts as a digital graveyard for rich media. We can't skim for keywords.
Right.
We can't analyze the author's tone through their vocabulary. We are left exclusively with the architectural skeleton.
The bare bones.
Yeah, we're dealing with what remains after the primary content has been stripped away during a digital transfer protocol, which, how do you even analyze a document with no words?
It's a challenge.
It's a huge challenge, but I genuinely love this unusual formatting. It's like a fascinating puzzle for the learner to solve.
What's fascinating here is the sheer mechanics of that structural blueprint. When we strip away the semantic meaning,
The pictures themselves.
right, the actual visual content of those original images, we are forced to look strictly at syntactic spacing and temporal visual rhetoric.
Okay, so temporal visual rhetoric, break that down for us.
Let's examine the exact arrangement of the material provided. At the beginning, we have that cluster. Image placeholders 1, 2, and 3 are stacked directly on top of one another with no interruption.
Right.
In the context of visual communication, a clustered triad usually indicates a rapid temporal flow. The viewer's eye is meant to process them as a cohesive block.
Like a sequence.
Exactly, perhaps as a chronological sequence, a set of comparative data points, or a baseline of evidence.
So what does this all mean?
Well, this layout suggests a specific narrative rhythm, a rapid succession of visual information, those first three images, followed by a pause, and concluding with a singular, emphasizing visual statement, which is the fourth image.
Even when the actual content is missing, the structure of the data still tells a story.
Always. That cohesive block establishes a baseline of momentum. But then we hit that distinct structural break in the document, a physical gap in the text file.
Right, the empty space.
In textual or visual formatting, a break of that nature is a deliberate instruction to the reader to stop, digest the preceding information, and prepare for a cognitive shift.
It's a breath.
Yes. And following that gap, we have a final standalone element, which is image placeholder four. It sits entirely on its own, separated from the initial triad. The isolation gives it a totally different comparative weight.
I understand the theory of a cohesive narrative block and a deliberate structural shift, but I feel like we need to pressure test this a bit.
Let's do it.
We are assuming the author of the original document is some architect of communication who deliberately placed a structural break for dramatic effect.
Which is a big assumption.
Exactly. What if we are falling into the trap of overinterpreting missing data? Isn't it equally probable that this formatting is just a digital artifact?
A clerical error.
Yeah, a careless keystroke, someone accidentally hitting the enter key before pasting the final image. We have to be really careful not to project our own desire for a narrative onto a potential software glitch.
That is a highly necessary critique. It brings up a fundamental tension in analyzing digital ephemera, separating human intent from mechanical error.
Because it happens all the time.
It does. You are absolutely correct that the structural break could be a clerical accident. Furthermore, we must consider the unseen mechanics of the original platform.
The environment it came from.
Right. What if the source material was a web page where an advertisement was injected between the third and fourth image?
Oh, that's incredibly common.
Very common. So when the text was copied and pasted, the ad blocker, or the transfer protocol, might have suppressed the advertisement entirely.
Failing to generate a placeholder for it?
Precisely. Leaving only a blank line break in its wake. In that scenario, the pause isn't a dramatic narrative device at all. It is simply a silent failure of a third-party API.
Here's where it gets really interesting, especially when we look at the technical realities of how rich text is stripped in these environments.
The copy-paste dilemma.
Exactly. When you copy an article, an email, or a web page, your operating system's clipboard attempts to store multiple formats simultaneously. HTML, rich text, and plain text.
It's trying to cover all its bases.
Right. But when you paste that data into a destination that only accepts or defaults to plain text, the visual data is discarded.
The semantic layers are stripped.
We lose the embedded media entirely, and the system defaults to generating these bracketed placeholder tags. This isn't just a loss of data. It's a fundamental translation error between digital environments.
Which brings us to the concept of data voids. Data voids are structural realities in our modern information ecosystem.
We don't talk about them enough.
We really don't.
Yeah.
We tend to operate under the assumption that digital information is permanent, perfectly replicable, and objective. But the reality is that digital context is highly fragile.
Extremely fragile.
When the MIE types mismatch during a transfer or an image source URL is unrecognized by the destination software, we are left with these voids. The architecture of the document survives, but the substance perishes.
And the cognitive load required to process those data voids is huge. We communicate increasingly through dense visual shorthand, embedded charts, reaction images, infographics, screenshots.
It's how we parse information quickly.
Exactly. So think about it. If you are reviewing a financial brief and a crucial comparative graph fails to render, leaving only a bracketed placeholder, the surrounding text might lose its anchor.
The entire persuasive thrust of the document is compromised.
Right. We rely so heavily on the visual layer of communication that when it vanishes, we are forced to become digital archaeologists.
Digging through the ruins.
Trying to infer the shape of the missing context based solely on where the pillars were left standing.
This raises an important question about epistemology in our digital landscape. When we encounter these data voids, how do we know what we don't know?
That is the big question.
How do we calibrate our understanding when the structural evidence might be the result of a deliberate formatting choice or, as you pointed out, a failed API call?
Because our brains don't like ambiguity.
No, they hate it. Too often, the human brain attempts to resolve this ambiguity through the Gestalt principle of closure. We instinctively try to fill in the missing pieces to create a coherent whole.
We connect the dots even if the dots are random.
Precisely. We see three placeholders and a standalone fourth, and we automatically assume a setup and a conclusion.
So, if our brains are hardwired for pareidolia, finding meaningful patterns in random noise, how do we guard against confirmation bias when looking at an incomplete document?
It takes discipline.
Because if we assume that image 4 is the logical conclusion to images 1, 2, and 3, we might subconsciously invent a narrative that entirely misrepresents the original author's intent.
We might assign profound significance to a gap that was merely a formatting glitch.
Exactly. So how do we defend against that?
The defense against that confirmation bias is cultivating a rigorous awareness of the medium itself. We must view the structural blueprint not as absolute proof of intent, but as a heuristic, a tool for asking better questions.
So the layout is a prompt, not an answer.
That's a great way to put it. When we analyze paste to text, the value isn't in definitively proving that the line break was a dramatic pause. The value is in recognizing that the structure could imply a hierarchy.
And using that recognition to guide our critical inquiry.
Right. If you are analyzing a redacted legal document or a highly fragmented historical text, you apply the exact same critical framework. You map the syntax of the missing information.
It's about reading the metadata of human communication. You look at a strange email chain or a weirdly formatted report, and instead of merely skimming past the broken formatting, you actively interrogate the void.
You don't just ignore it.
No, you ask what specific type of visual context might have occupied this space, and how does its absence alter the trajectory of the surrounding data?
Even if you determine that a blank space is just an error, Making that determination requires a level of active, critical engagement.
It prevents you from being a passive consumer of corrupted media.
Precisely. Let's look at the limitations of the structural blueprint theory in practice. If those first three placeholders were simply catalog images of inventory,
say three different angles of a product.
Right, and the fourth was a sizing chart, the line break might just be the original website's way of separating product photos from technical specifications.
That makes perfect sense.
The structure dictates a categorization, not necessarily a dramatic narrative. By maintaining a healthy skepticism about the structural break, we open ourselves up to multiple interpretations of the data void.
Rather than locking into a single, potentially flawed assumption.
Exactly.
And what makes this deep dive so relevant is how frequently this exact scenario plays out organically in our daily digital interactions. We interact with degraded digital ephemera constantly.
All day long.
We forward complex email threads where inline images turn into meaningless attachments. We copy text from proprietary software into generic word processors and watch the formatting completely disintegrate.
It's infuriating, but it's a reality.
We are constantly navigating environments where the rich context has been stripped away, leaving only the syntactic spacing to guide us.
Which highlights the critical difference between the presentation of data and the active consumption of it. A passive consumer sees an image placeholder and views it merely as a technical failure, a dead end.
Just a broken link.
Right. An active consumer sees the placeholder and views it as a variable in an equation. They recognize that the absence of data is, in itself, a form of data.
It tells you something.
It tells you something about the limitations of the transfer protocol, the intended multimedia nature of the original source, and the potential blind spots in your current understanding of the subject matter.
Let's take a moment to bring all of this together and map out the practical takeaways. We began this deep dive with a source document that presented nothing but an architectural skeleton.
A very bare one.
A document titled Pasted Text containing four image placeholders and a single line break. By resisting the urge to dismiss it as a mere failure of information, we mapped the syntactic layout.
We identified the sequential cluster of the first three images.
Exploring how a triad suggests a rapid temporal flow or a cohesive baseline of data.
We then critically examined the structural break. We debated the tension between human intentionality, the idea that the gap was a deliberate cognitive pause, and mechanical error.
Acknowledging the highly probable reality of a careless keystroke or a failed advertisement API.
We explored the mechanics of data voids and the fragility of rich tech transfer protocols, dissecting how semantic layers are stripped away to leave behind only these digital ghosts.
Finally, we discussed the cognitive friction of encountering these voids, specifically the danger of confirmation bias. We examined how our brains attempt to force closure on incomplete data.
And why it is so crucial to treat the structural blueprint as a heuristic for asking questions rather than definitive map of the author's intent.
We couldn't see the pictures, but we rigorously analyzed the parameters of the missing information.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the lesson here extends far beyond the mechanics of a quirky text file. We operate in an environment characterized by an absolute relentless overload of digital information.
It's nonstop.
In that ecosystem, the ability to recognize and analyze what isn't there is a master skill. It trains us to notice the framing of an argument, the pacing of a presentation, and the missing visual evidence that might fundamentally alter our understanding of a complex situation.
And that brings us right back to you listening to this right now. You are someone who demands a comprehensive understanding of the material you consume.
You wouldn't be here otherwise.
Exactly. You want to navigate your field without being hindered by the inevitable degradation of digital information. The practical application you can take into your very next task is to elevate your awareness of the medium.
Pay attention to the structure.
The next time you are reviewing a brief, parsing a fragmented email chain, or trying to catch up on a new industry report, do not merely read the text that survived the transfer. Interrogate the blank spaces.
When a document relies on a structural flow that seems disjointed, ask yourself what semantic layer might have been stripped away. If an argument feels abrupt or lacks an anchor, actively consider if a missing chart, an unrendered graphic, or a deleted hyperlink was carrying the primary weight of the author's persuasion.
Apply that critical friction to the structure of the data itself. Read the architecture, evaluate the data voids, and maintain a rigorous skepticism about the integrity of the format.
Don't let a missing piece of visual data dictate a false narrative.
Never.
As we conclude this analysis of pasted text, I want to leave you with one final thought to mull over on your own regarding the nature of that specific structural layout.
Okay, let's hear it.
We've thoroughly debated the potential origins of that physical separation, whether it was an intentional shift in visual rhetoric, a software glitch, or an invisible API failure. But let us look at the final element strictly in isolation. Image placeholder 4 sits completely disconnected at the end of the document, severed from the initial cluster by that void.
The standalone variable at the end of the equation.
I want you to ponder what that deliberate isolation, if we assume it was deliberate, truly represents in the overarching taxonomy of visual communication.
The meaning of the isolation itself.
Yes. Does that specific physical separation represent a complete paradigm shift from the preceding data? For instance, if the first three images established a trend, is the isolated fourth image the disruptive outlier?
Oh, that's interesting.
Or consider the mechanics of a subversion. In sequential visual storytelling, a structural pause followed by an isolated image is frequently utilized to completely subvert the viewer's expectations.
The visual equivalent of a rhetorical pivot?
Exactly. The punchline to a visual joke. Based entirely on the architectural anticipation built by that structural void, I invite you to imagine the precise nature of the visual finale that would demand its own exclusive, isolated space on the page.
What could possibly need that much separation?
The definitive answer isn't contained within the document, but the parameters for the answer have been meticulously outlined by the space itself.
That is a phenomenal conceptual challenge to walk away with. It provides a highly rigorous framework for looking at the negative space in our digital environment. Thank you for joining us on this exploration of the invisible architecture of digital communication. Keep challenging the structure of the information you consume, keep interrogating the data voids, and keep maintaining that critical curiosity. See you next time.